I'm Michelle Lewin. I'm an attorney in New York State. I run the Parole Preparation Project, and we work with incarcerated people who are serving life and long sentences. We're in touch with hundreds, if not thousands, of people across New York State prisons. You know, in the very beginning, I think during the outbreak, I think the biggest issue was that people in prison were not being and continue to not be given any kind of personal hygiene or sanitizing supplies. So many, many, many people in prison right now are without soap, are without hot water, are without the ability to sanitize their own personal spaces, their bodies. We've been hearing stories of people washing their cells in bleach, washing their bodies in bleach, basically doing things that are absolutely desperate in order to try to prevent the spread of the virus. And as time went on, you know, docs started to put in place some protections, but very few. The protections that docs put in place, you know, often involved quarantining people in solitary confinement cells, separating people from their property and from their friends and from their colleagues and loved ones, isolating people to the point where they couldn't actually connect with people in the outside world. You know, for many, many, many weeks, face coverings weren't allowed in the New York State prisons, and now that they are, the only thing that people are being given are a state-issued handkerchief. If there are enough to be distributed, many people are reporting that there are not. COs for many months were not covering their faces, or many weeks were not covering their faces and exposing people to the virus. As of yesterday, 12 incarcerated people had died. More than 400 people had tested positive of the incarcerated population. For staff, it's more, I think, upwards of 1,000 or 1,200 as of this morning. So obviously, you know, there's a huge disparity in testing, which is a big issue that I think, or I hope that we talk about today some more. But basically, right, if you have a staff of 1,200 people who are infected, it's physically impossible that only 400 people in prison have the virus and are positive. So I think, you know, a big issue that we're really facing and we're coming up against is that docs has refused to test people in mass. They've essentially said that only people who were highly symptomatic and who are showing signs of the COVID virus should be tested, which means you have both asymptomatic people walking around, potentially infecting others. And you also have people who are showing mild symptoms who aren't necessarily sure if they have the virus and may not be taking the precautions that they need to protect themselves and to protect others. Just sort of more on the conditions very quickly. You know, we have lots of reports of commissary shelves being empty, people not having access to basic items like toothbrushes or underwear, not having enough food to sustain themselves, not being given blankets in solitary confinement when they are being quarantined because of symptoms or potential symptoms. You know, I'm hearing stories from people who are laboring to make coffins inside prison grounds and then also being asked to dig graves in the prison cemeteries. So, you know, I think people in prison are feeling terrified. I think they're feeling scared, not only for their own lives, but the lives of their loved ones on the outside. You know, I feel like it's every single day that us as advocates get calls from both people in prison and their family members saying, you know, my loved one just called and said that there's no sick call today and there's no doctor to visit with. There's no one to talk with about the symptoms that I'm experiencing. It's pretty horrific, to say the least. And so, you know, I think for us on the outside, we're obviously constantly trying to figure out how can we remedy some of the conditions that we're hearing inside? How can we, on a facility basis, try to improve those conditions for people who are locked up? But also, how can we get more people out? You know, I think public health experts across the country have been very clear that the only way, you know, that we're going to be able to effectively curb the spread of coronavirus within our prisons is to get people out. You know, since the beginning of the pandemic, we've been calling on Governor Cuomo and on the Department of Corrections to release people. But I want to just give you a very quick update on what the governor has done and what the state has done. I know there's a lot of confusion and sort of a lot of misunderstanding about who's out, who's not getting out. So a couple weeks ago, the governor's office announced a plan to release a group of people who were within 90 days of their release date, who were over 55, who had underlying medical conditions, and who were convicted of nonviolent crime. Just to give you a sense, right, that's already a pretty small portion of the overall population in New York State prisons. We have about 42,000 people in prison, close to 10,000 people who are over 50 or who are 50 or over. And so, you know, still even within those, that criteria, we're talking about a small number of those people who the governor's office identified, only 114 have been released as of last Friday. So 114 people who were within 90 days of their release, right? So I just want to be clear that those are people who were also already scheduled to get out, have been released. And obviously we are so grateful and thrilled for that 114 people. We want all of those people to be home and safe with their families. But it's clear to us that 114 is not enough. The other group of people that Governor Cuomo and his administration have committed to releasing are pregnant people. And I think as of Friday, the statement from the Department of Corrections and from the governor's office is that several pregnant people would be or have been released. It's not clear what several means. I know there's a longstanding debate about how many several actually is, but our sense is that it's less than 10 and probably less than 5. So overall, the administration in New York State, the governor's office and the Department of Corrections has released somewhere around 120 people, which, you know, I think when we think about those individuals, it's significant. But when we think about the other 41,500 people who are currently locked up in our 52 state prisons, it's not enough. It's just not enough. We are seeing every day an uptick in deaths, an uptick in infections. You know, it almost, I think the death rate is almost one a day now, if not two a day. It's clear that there are certain facilities that are hotspots. The facilities closest to the cities, whether it's Fishkill Correctional Facility, Sing Sing Correctional Facility, Bedford Hills, and then also Otisville, are where the peak of the infections are really happening and where the most people are dying.
Next up, we hear from Donna Robinson, whose daughter is incarcerated at Bedford Hills.
I'm feeling like all of my biggest fears have come to fruition. You know, we had a press conference, a Zoom call a couple weeks ago when everything that I thought in my worst nightmares that could happen has happened. As most of us know, Bedford Hills is a maximum facility for women. There are a lot of women that are behind bars that don't belong there, that don't deserve to be there, that didn't go there to die. My daughter's only one story. She was sentenced to 15 years to life. I'm so appalled at Governor Cuomo, how he comes on every afternoon and takes so much of my valuable time to talk about things that are inconsequential to how we are suffering, not only outside the family members, but the ones who are inside, because they're afraid. They don't know what's gonna happen. The government and the prison system's not being transparent. They're not telling them anything. My daughter calls and she's crying because she knows that they're taking women out of her unit. And they're not telling them where they're going. They're not bringing them back. And I know they're not taking them anywhere but to solitary housing, to the SHU, to ostracize them from the other people, the other citizens, the other hostages, however you want to refer to them. They're human beings behind bars. They're afraid to let anyone know that they're sick because they know what's going to happen. They're not going to get the medical treatment that they need, that we can be afforded on the outside. My daughter's a human being, my best friend, my lifeline. And to find out that you're playing fast and loose with so many people's lives, I don't have much confidence in the governor. Yes, you've done something. But when I look at your record as far as clemency is concerned, I can do the math. That's two people a year. You know, that's not acceptable. It's a hardship all the way around. I cannot beg you any more than I have to look at people who they are now. I can't express to you enough. None of us are the same people we were even before this virus. look at them, who they are now. None of us are immune from this virus or the next one down the pipe. We have to put provisions in place to save our loved ones behind bars, and we have to do it now. Thank you.